Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
To join us, 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Aria, Ian, and Conan, and I want to switch gears here to talk about this article I found earlier in the day that I absolutely love, even though it's about cancel culture, but not in the way that you think. It starts out by quoting the Scarlet Letter. I'm going to skip over the quote because it has, from what I can tell, it has nothing to do with the actual article. So begins the tale of Hester Prynne, as recounted in Nathaniel Hawthorne's most famous novel, The Scarlet Letter. As readers of this classic American text know, I've never read it, and I'm starting to think that's probably a lapse in my education. I probably should take the time to read it.
You know the premise, though, right?
I only do from reading this. The story begins after Hester gives birth to a child out of wedlock and refuses to name the father. As a result, she's sentenced to be mocked by a jeering crowd, undergoing, quote, an agony from every footstep of those that throng to see her, as if her heart had been flogged. They could have skipped that. After that, she must wear a scarlet A for adulterer pinned to her dress for the rest of her life. On the outskirts of Boston, she lives in exile. No one will socialize with her, not even those who have quietly committed similar sins, among them the father of her child, the saintly village preacher. The Scarlet Letter has the effect of a spell, taking her out of the ordinary relations with humanity and enclosing her in a sphere by herself. We read that story with a certain self-satisfaction, such an old-fashioned tale. Even Hawthorne sneered at the Puritans with their sad-colored garments and gray steepled crowned hats, their strict conformism, their narrow minds, and their hypocrisy. And today we are not just hip and modern, we live in a land governed by the rule of law. We have procedures designed to prevent the meting out of unfair punishment. Scarlet letters are a thing of the past.
Yeah, right.
Except they aren't.
When was this written?
Recent.
Yeah, I found it today, so it was probably today. Except they aren't. Right here in America, right now, it is possible to meet people who have lost everything, jobs, money, friends, colleagues, after violating no laws and sometimes no workplace rules either. Instead, they have broken, or are merely accused of having broken, social codes having to do with race, sex, personal behavior, or even acceptable humor, which may not have existed 5 years ago or maybe 5 months ago. Some have made egregious errors or judgment. Some have done nothing at all. It isn't always easy to tell. Yet despite the disputed nature of these cases, it's become both easy and useful for some people to put them into larger narratives. Partisans, especially on the right, now toss around the phrase cancel culture when they want to defend themselves from criticism, however legitimate. But dig into the story of anyone who has been a genuine victim of modern mob justice, and you will often find not an obvious argument between, quote, woke and anti-woke perspectives, but rather incidents that are interpreted, described, or remembered by different people in different ways, even leaving aside whatever political or intellectual issue may be at stake. There's a reason that Science reported Donald McNeil, after being asked to resign from the New York Times, needed 21,000 words published in four parts to recount a series of conversations he had with high school students in Peru, during which he may or may not have said something racially offensive, depending on whose account you find most persuasive. There's a reason that Laura Kipnis, an academic at Northwestern, required an entire book to recount the repercussions, including to herself, of two allegations of sexual harassment against one man at her university after she referred to the case in an article about sexual paranoia. Students demanded that the university investigate her, too. A full explanation of the personal, professional, and political nuances in both cases needed a lot of space. By contrast to Nathaniel's world, the modern online public sphere, a place of rapid conclusions, rigid ideological prisms, and arguments of 280 characters, favors neither nuance nor ambiguity. Yet the values of that online sphere have come to dominate many American cultural institutions, universities, newspapers, foundations, museums. Heeding public demands for rapid retribution, they sometimes impose the equivalent of lifetime scarlet letters on people who have not been accused of anything remotely resembling a crime. Instead of courts, they use secretive bureaucracies. Instead of hearing evidence and witnesses, they make judgments behind closed doors. I've been trying to understand these stories for a long time, both because I believe that the principle of due process underpins liberal democracy, and also because they remind me of other times and places. I wrote a book about the Sovietization of Central Europe and found that much of the political conformism of the early communist period was the result not of violence or direct state coercion, but rather of intense peer pressure. Even without a clear risk to their life, people felt obliged, not just for the sake of their career, but for their children, their friends, their spouse, to repeat slogans that they didn't believe, like, get the vaccine, maybe, or just put on the mask.
Now, I mean, I'm curious. I found this story as well. I had not gone through it in any meaningful sense to see what conclusions they were coming to or where they're coming from, but it's interesting that it's in the Atlantic, which so far in the last year or so has been vehemently pro-vaccine, completely against any kind of questioning the official narrative. So I do find myself wondering where it's going or where this author is coming from, because it's unusual that this story so far would appear in the Atlantic.
Maybe he's getting ready to get canceled himself, and he's just, this is his parting song. Yeah, exactly.
I got to be honest, I did not read the entire article.
I can't blame you, it's long.
Yeah, I read a fair bit of it, and I was like, okay, this is pretty good for the show. I mean, it's a refreshing perspective, and I had never thought about comparing modern-day things to the Scarlet Letter, which is far more appropriate than comparisons to, you know, wearing a star during Nazi Germany.
The system of excommunication that Hawthorne was writing about, it is so alive in our present day. You see it everywhere. It's, you know, at every level. And you know who the perpetrators are most often. It's the people we were talking about in the last segment, the 180ers, these people on Twitch and all of these other social medias who change their entire,
Yeah, and if they find something you said 9 months ago that conflicts with what they believe at this exact moment, they will cancel you.
Correct. They'll get together and they will call your employer and they'll be like,
"Well,
you know what this person said 3 years ago, 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. You need to do something about this, otherwise we're gonna set up a boycott of your company." And these employers they always cave, or whatever administration, whether it be a school or a hospital or anything. These people are vicious, and they know how to do it because it's working.
Yep, and that's more evidence that we don't need Stalinism to create this kind of atmosphere. During a trip to Turkey earlier this year, the author met a writer who showed... I'm going to switch back to the author's perspective here. I met a writer who showed me his latest manuscript kept in a desk drawer. His work wasn't illegal, it was just unpublishable. Turkish newspapers, magazines, and publishing houses are subject to unpredictable prosecutions and drastic sentences for speech or writing that can be arbitrarily construed as insulting the president or the Turkish nation.
Mm.
Fear of these sanctions leads to self-censorship and silence. In America, of course, we don't have that kind of state coercion. Oh, yes, we do.
You say something bad about anybody, any politician, and the mob is going to come after you.
Well, no, we have that direct state coercion here in the United States. We talked about it, I think, yesterday here on the show. I think it was yesterday.
You mean working hand-in-hand with Silicon Valley?
The U.S. government is telling Facebook what posts to flag. The U.S. government is monitoring Facebook and saying, hey, we don't like this post. Make it go away.
Is it that way or is it the other way
around?
It
is that way. White House press secretary admitted this, saying, hey, yes, we're flagging problematic posts for Facebook.
I thought Zuckerberg was doing all this on his own.
Nope. He probably is working
hand in hand with government. I think they're on the same team. It's not like they're telling each other.
Is, but
they're not telling each other what to do. They're working together.
They're working together. No, they're not. And the White House press secretary for the Biden administration has straight out said this, that they are telling Facebook what posts to remove.
Hey, screw your freedoms.
Right.
I'm telling you.
So, I mean, we do have that sort of state coercion going on right now where the U.S. government is monitoring Facebook and Twitter, I think, was another one, and YouTube is saying, hey, we don't like this. This needs to go away.
And now you got Australia doing the same thing.
That said, though, I mean, we still do have more semblance of freedom of speech here than in Turkey.
That's true.
You and I are talking right now about what the government gang is doing. Now, to be fair, they did raid the studio back in March.
They did arrest both of us like 6 months ago.
For the most part, most people still have the ability to criticize criminalize the government in the United States.
And we have guns.
And Turkey is ranked number 153 on the rankings of press freedom, the World Press Freedom Index. The U.S. is 44.
Yeah, we're certainly not as bad as Turkey, but there is state coercion going on here. There's more coming up from this article because it gets into a number of fascinating subjects that I think are worth bringing up. What are your thoughts on censorship? Are we dealing with the scarlet letter type of things? 603-283-61.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pounde Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live, where last year we told you about Intercoin, which can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own tokens. Now, Intercoin.org has launched worldwide, so if there's a token you want to launch or an app you want to build, go to Intercoin.org, enter your email, and the team there will get in touch with you and learn about your needs. And while you're there, if you want, get some Intercoins for yourself, Intercoin.org, Intercoin.org. But you're invited to join us, 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Conan.
And we are talking about this article here that's all about cancel culture, basically. Here is the first thing that happens when you have been accused of breaking a social code, when you find yourself at the center of a social media storm because of something you said or allegedly said. The phone stops ringing, people stop talking to you, you become toxic. I have in my department dozens of colleagues. I think I've spoken to zero of them in the past year, one academic told me. One of my colleagues I had lunch with at least once a week for more than a decade, he just refused to speak to me anymore without asking questions. Another figured that of the 20-odd members in his department, there are two, one of whom has no power and another of whom is about to retire, who will now speak to me. A journalist told me that after he was summarily fired, his acquaintances sorted themselves into three groups. First, the heroes, very small in number, who, quote, insist on due process before damaging another person's life and who stick by their friends. Second, yep. The villains, who think you should, quote, immediately lose your livelihood as soon as the allegation is made. Some old friends or people he thought were old friends even joined the public attack.
I've been through this.
And what's the third group? The fence sitters?
The majority. Good but useless. They don't necessarily think the worst of you, and they would like you to get due process, but you know they haven't looked into it. They have reasons to think charitably of you, but they're too busy to help, or they have too much to lose.
So this guy, this author, is, in fact...
No, he's quoting a journalist.
Oh, okay, so... I'm of the opinion this author might be on his way out. I think that he's...
Well, if this author was one of the people this has happened to, evidently The Atlantic wouldn't have published his piece, or her piece. Most people drift away because life moves on. Others do so because they are afraid that those unproven allegations might imply something far worse. One professor, who has not been accused of any physical contact with anybody, was astonished to discover that some of his colleagues assumed that if his university was disciplining him, he must be a rapist. Another person suspended from his job put it this way. Someone who knows me but maybe doesn't know my soul or character may be saying to themselves that prudence would dictate they keep their distance lest they become collateral damage. So here's the second thing that happens. Even if you have not been suspended, punished, or found guilty of anything, you cannot function in your profession. If you are a professor, no one wants you as a teacher or mentor. The graduate students made it obvious to me that I was a non-person and could not be tolerated, one professor said. You cannot publish in professional journals. You cannot quit your job because no one else will hire you. If you're a journalist, you might find you can no longer publish at all. After losing his job as editor of the New York Review of Books in a hashtag MeToo-related editorial dispute, he wasn't accused of assault, just of printing an article by someone who was. Ian Baruma discovered that several of the magazines where he had been writing for three decades would no longer publish him. One editor said something about younger staff at his magazine, although a group of more than 100 New York Review of Books contributors had signed a public letter in Baruma's defense. This editor evidently feared his colleagues more than he did Joyce Carol Oates, one of the authors. For many, intellectual and professional life...
Well, I want to jump in here.
Yeah.
I've been through some of this back when the first raid happened here in 2016, which they said they were looking for child pornography in our studios, which they never found.
Five years later,
they still have the equipment, but you know, no charges have been brought against anyone for that. I did have a teenage girlfriend at the time, and so it was interesting, like the very things that he's talking about here. There were the people that stuck with me, and there were the people that I thought were my friends that turns out they weren't, and they, you know, turned on me, basically. So all of the things
that's so sad, man.
Yeah. And now, in my case, I didn't have a job, so I didn't have to deal with whatever job-related fallout that he's describing. I'm here on the air. This is my show. You know, I created it. But there was definitely some things that happened. A couple of shows mysteriously decided they wanted to no longer be on LRN.FM, and they didn't explain their answers as to why they didn't want to be on were not clear. Like, they weren't honorable enough to, like, actually explain themselves when I asked, But, you know, I'm like, okay, you don't want to be on anymore. That's fine. I'll respect your requests.
You got to have a pretty good reason as a content creator, though, to not want to have your content on a platform that isn't costing you anything to have it on.
That's why it was bewildering to me.
Yeah.
I presume it had to do with what had happened, and although I never got a straight answer, I did years later get an answer from one person who I won't name as far as who it was, but that person basically said they had heard something about me. Regarding to something that they thought that they'd heard that I said about the age of consent or something like that, or that I was like a rapist or some, I forget exactly what it was, so I don't want to, again, say who it was. But whatever it was that they heard, they never bothered to actually ask me about it. Like this person who had been on the...
Or to listen to the show that got taken totally out of context and blown out of proportion.
Yeah, and he admitted he didn't listen to the thing. He had just heard it from somebody about what I allegedly said about supporting rape of children or something like that, which, of course, is ridiculous. I never said anything like that. But the person and I had had a relationship to where this guy was on the network every single day and was regularly... Like, I dealt with him regularly. It wasn't like some sideshow that I never talked to or anything like that. And I said, well, you know, you could have just talked to me.
Yeah.
And he didn't have anything to say about it.
That's depressing. That's what the author here points out. You know, that's the third category of person who just, they want to believe the best, but they don't talk to you. They don't ask you about it. They just disassociate.
Yep.
For some people, this can result in a catastrophic loss of income. Ludlow moved to Mexico because he could live more cheaply there. For others, it can create an identity crisis. After describing the various jobs he had held in the months since being suspended from his teaching job, one of the academics I interviewed seemed to choke up, saying, "I'm really only good at one thing," he told me and pointed to mathematical formulas on a blackboard behind him and said this.
Those who can do.
Yep.
But ultimately, you know, I think that it's...
Those who can't teach.
I mean, these things are frustrating for people to go through them, but I'm glad that it happened because I wouldn't want to be around the two-faced people, and I'm glad I got to find out who those people were.
Yeah. That's true.
It's every now and then it's good to clean out your friends list. And sometimes you don't know where people really stand until the crazy happens.
Right, until they have to take a side.
Yep.
The third thing that happens is that you try to apologize whether or not you have done anything wrong. Robert George, a Princeton philosopher who has acted as a faculty advocate for students and professors who have fallen into legal or administrative difficulties, I assume you did not apologize because you didn't say what they accused you of saying.
Yeah, right.
Okay. They have been popular and successful their whole lives. That's how they climbed the ladder to their academic positions. And then suddenly there's this terrible feeling of everybody hates me. So what do? More often than not, they just cave in and apologize.
Mm.
I said, "What am I apologizing for?" And they said, "Well, their feelings were hurt." Imagine apologizing because someone's feelings were hurt over something you said. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden addressed the nation on Tuesday after the final withdrawal from Afghanistan. Speaking from the White House, the president said he took responsibility for the decision to pull out American military forces and said that he was working within the agreement his administration was handed.
My predecessor had made a deal with the Taliban. When I came into office, we faced a deadline, May 1. The Taliban onslaught was coming. We faced one of two choices: follow the agreement of the previous administration and extend it to have, or extend, have more time for people to get out, or send in thousands of more troops and escalate the war. To those asking for a third decade of war in Afghanistan, I ask, what is the vital national interest?
This is USA Radio News. With Americans having been left behind in Afghanistan, one retired Special Forces soldier is organizing evacuations from the country. Lance Pry has more.
Leaving our brothers and sisters behind in a foreign country amplifies how poorly President Biden has handled the deadly exit in Afghanistan. One patriot has stepped up to do what the federal government has failed to do: get Americans and her allies out of country. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann has spent decades in the Army Special Forces. He tells Fox News his teams have been extracting people out of Afghanistan and is a glimmer of hope to those left behind by the commander-in-chief.
We're reposturing to do recovery operations now that the airport's been abandoned. We've already started moving families out. We got one family out of an Afghan-trained Green Beret. His wife went into labor at the Taliban checkpoint. We've already moved her out of the country, and we'll be reuniting him within the state soon. So OperationRecovery.org, and we're not going to stop until we get them all out.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. As always, you can join us 603-283-6160, because that's what we do here at Free Talk Live. We empower you to express your opinions, to share your thoughts on national radio. And if you value that, you may consider joining the AMP program. You can find it at amp.freetalklive.com, and you can join it like Roderick Gallatin did. He's a platinum level amplifier, which means that Roderick is giving $25 or more per month to the AMP program. We don't ask that much, though. To join the program, all it takes is $5 per month. That gets you in. And it's money that is used solely to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live, to get us on more radio stations, to get more podcast downloads, and all of that awesome stuff. So if you value that, if you value Free Talk Live and the idea of a libertarian radio show on close to 200 radio stations, check out the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. Speaking of the phones, though, let's go to them. We have Pizza Cake Man calling. Pizza Cake Man, you're on Free Talk Live.
How's it going this evening, guys?
Hey, what's on your mind?
So have you been paying attention to what's going on in Australia, and do you feel like they kind of deserve it, seeing as they were originally a prison colony anyway, and they've allowed their entire continent to become a prison state?
I get the sense you don't listen to the show much these days.
You're talking like the sins of the father? Yeah, I don't go for that at all. But yeah, we did talk about it for the first 30 minutes of this morning.
Man. We've been talking about it a lot.
I just got here today. It's been a rough week, but no, I was listening to you guys last week. I do come in on occasion, not as often as I used to, but yeah, I've just been. I wanted to point out how hilarious it is that these people have gotten themselves into this situation, and now it's spreading here. And I'm ready for it. I'm armed. I have reserves. I'm ready to move if necessary. Hopefully you are too. But the United States is slowly and surely becoming a prison state like the rest of the planet. And I'm with Alex Jones on this. We need to fight back.
Well, where are you gonna move to?
Well,
where is safe?
We have to stay in areas that are rural. We have to stay away from areas where they're easily controllable. Tight city streets, things like that. We need to stay in the woods. We need to stay in rural communities and gather individuals. And after that, obviously, there's going to be tons of infiltrators. So it's not about being violent. It's about being able to defend yourselves. And that's the key. Nobody needs to be violent, but everyone needs to prepare to be violent to defend your life.
Well, I would add to that as well, not only be able to defend yourself, not only get out of the cities and get away from these population control centers, but you also need to spend a good amount of time preparing yourself, the individual that you speak of, to survive the onslaught that you are pretty sure is going to happen. And I'm kind of in the same boat.
I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody defending themselves if they're attacked, but on the other hand, I also don't think that violence is going to be the answer. I don't think that violence does anything more than beget violence, ultimately, especially if you're talking about the rise of the police state or the state in general being the violent ones. You using violence against them is usually going to result in your total extermination.
Yeah, which is not effective.
And then they will use you as their excuse to get more violent.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree. I don't think violence is the solution. I like the solution that we're working on here in New Hampshire, which is to declare independence from
peacefully.
The United States. Peacefully,
yeah.
Declare independence from the United States. Just have New Hampshire declare itself its own sovereign government, and then it doesn't really matter what the United States government does to its citizens, because we're no longer citizens of the United States at that point.
Well, and if you've got enough people on your side, and Pizza Cake Man did talk about gathering people together, if you do have enough people on your side, you don't need to be violent. You can have enough people to do massive civil disobedience, massive non-cooperation. You know, if you have enough people that don't want to follow some stupid government diktat or pay some tax or whatever it is, you know, whatever their demand is, if enough people don't go along with it, it is not as, you know, it doesn't exist. You know, people have to be obedient. They have to obey. They have to ultimately consent to what the government is doing to them. And that's what's the saddest part about Australia, is how many people are going along to get along and voluntarily locking themselves up when being told to.
Yeah, I'm under the impression that Australia is going to have to suffer in order to get enough people to wake up. I think that right now...
Yeah, the truckers aren't enough.
The truckers, it's got to be the farmers, it's got to be the police, it's got to be the military, it's got to be everybody. And I don't think that they have felt enough of the pain to pull their heads up out of the sand and...
Sadly, and
stick up for themselves.
But speaking of, you know, gathering people together, I mean, that's what the Free State Project has been attempting to do here in New Hampshire, is gather libertarians here so that, you know, we can achieve libertarian goals like seceding from the United States government and lowering taxes and creating choice in schools and other obvious libertarian things. I see no reason that at any point at this stage people should be seriously contemplating defending themselves against enforcers of the state. To me, that's silly.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge, David Koresh. These are people who try to do the same thing. They try to go out in the woods, do their own thing, and the state does not like that. They made examples of those people very quickly.
Speaking of people having examples made of them, that's pretty much what happens with cancel culture. And even if you apologize, which is what we were left off with before the last break, even if you apologize, it doesn't really help the situation. More often than not, apologies will be parsed and examined for sincerity and then rejected. Howard Bochner, the editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, apologized for something he'd had nothing directly to do with after one of his colleagues made controversial comments on a podcast and on Twitter about whether communities of color were held back more by, quote, structural racism or by socioeconomic factors.
And probably said it 10 years ago as well.
Well, I don't know what difference it could make. The structural racism could cause the socioeconomic factors, and the socioeconomic factors would cause the structural racism. So both of those are leftist talking points, but he was still canceled because of it. He's got Buckner here, who, you know, was this one of his colleagues said this, says, I remain profoundly disappointed in myself for the lapses that led to the publishing of the tweet and podcast. Although I did not write or even see the tweet or create the podcast, as editor-in-chief, I am ultimately responsible for them. He ended up resigning, but this too is typical because apologies have become ritualized. They invariably seem insincere. Websites even offer sample templates for people who need to apologize.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of cancel culture and people being racist, probably this guy, you know, probably many, many years ago, someone dragged it up. Why doesn't Biden ever get canceled? He said all kinds of racist things in his time.
That's a good question,
and
man.
That audio is floating around. He's talking about he doesn't want his kids going to a jungle or something, you know.
I haven't heard that.
Even on the debate stage, Kamala was calling him out. And no one's ever canceled. Everyone still voted for him. So why do they pick and choose? They pick and choose who they want to cancel. And I don't understand the algorithm.
Well, they can't cancel the president.
Sure they can. Not vote for him. They could have picked someone. They
that's true.
But then
Trump would have won.
There were other options.
Not in their minds.
I don't even get it.
And they don't even want an apology. One former journalist told me that his ex-colleagues don't want to endorse the process of mistake, apology, understanding, forgiveness. They don't want to forgive. Instead, he said they want to punish and purify. But the knowledge that whatever you say will never be enough is debilitating. If you make an apology, you know in advance that your apology will not be accepted. That is going to be considered a move in a psychological or cultural or political game. Then the integrity of your introspection is being mocked, and you feel permanently marooned in a world of unforgivingness, and that is a truly unethical world. Even after the apology is made, though, a fourth thing happens. People begin to investigate you. One person I spoke with told me he believed he was investigated because his employer didn't want to offer severance compensation and needed extra reasons to justify the termination. Another thought an investigation launched on him was for an argument over language because an argument over language would have violated the union contract. So instead, maybe he hugged someone inappropriately once, or something worse. Nobody's perfect, nobody is pure, and once people set out to interpret ambiguous incidents in a way, it's not hard to find new evidence.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Were you invited to join us? 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. And with you tonight, it's Aria, Ian, and Conan. And we've got to move on from this article that we've been talking about, cancel culture. You can find it at...
Dynamic.
No, what's the Welper thing? What is that? The social.freetalklive.com. There's so many different links. So that's social.freetalklive. You can find it over there. Because it goes on for far longer than it should. And a lot of it's fluff. So we.
It's the Atlantic. All of their articles are like that. They're really lengthy.
I don't read them very often. But I mean, we're like two-thirds of the way through the article. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I got to move on here. It's fascinating, but it's not fascinating enough to
scarlet,
that much
the
of the
scarlet
show.
Leather is alive and well in even today's time. And this is going to turn into something. You know, every generation is going to have their variant.
Well, I think the point he was making toward the last part that we were looking at was there were people who were apologizing for, in some cases, things they didn't even do, but they were being blamed for or whatever, and they were taking heat for in their jobs. And it's focusing mostly on academia and journalism and people in those positions and what it's like to get caught up.
And they have guides on how to do it right.
And what it's like to get caught up in this controversy where people take sides and you can lose jobs and lose contracts and all that. And some people think that apologizing for a thing that they didn't actually do where there was anything wrong is going to help them, and it doesn't.
Yeah, didn't you see that?
It just makes them look weak.
It's like the South Park episode when Stan's father dropped the N-word. And the whole episode was him going to the right people and apologizing to the right people.
Mm.
And they were, I mean, that's an old episode. That's got to be 5-6 years old.
And how'd that work out for him?
It didn't. Mm-hmm. He had to go to, he went to, what's it,
I'm trying to remember
who's the Reverend Sharpton.
No, Jesse James.
Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, he had to kiss him on the ring or something. And
he didn't kiss his ring.
But yeah, it didn't work for him.
Yeah.
And so if you comply with this with these mobsters, it's the mob.
Yeah.
If you let them run you rough, You're not going to get out of it. You're not going to win. You might as well just stand up for yourself from the get-go.
You won't respect yourself.
Exactly. You won't be able to wake up in the morning.
And the people who had sided with you will turn, you know, they won't respect you for it. And the people that were against you aren't going to all of a sudden embrace you. So then you really will be in nowhere man's land.
Excommunicated.
Yep. But I want to move on to this article that you brought in, Conan, about this judge in Chicago, because we wanted to get to it last night, but we ended up not getting to it.
This is...
And it's a horrifying precedent.
It is horrifying. It's a sign of the times. As the cases start to rise this fall, you know, and maybe even some more variants that we haven't heard. Maybe the Doomsday variant is on its way.
Oh, well, there is a new South African variant.
What's it called?
I don't... 3.1.C or something like that.
They haven't given it a cute name yet.
No, but they will. I'm hoping it's the Doomsday variant. Let's get this over with.
This article is a sign of things to come and people in power abusing their power. A judge in Illinois has revoked a mother's right to visit her 11-year-old son because she refused to be vaccinated against the coronavirus.
Wow.
And this is because of her doctor's advice, as it turns out.
Her refusal of the vaccine is because of her doctor's advice, correct. In what is believed to be an unprecedented ruling, Cook County Judge James Shapiro said Rebecca Furlitz, 39, who shares custody of her son with her divorced husband, could not see the boy again until she had taken the shot. I was confused because it was supposed to be about expenses and child support, Furlitt told the Chicago Sun-Times about the virtual court hearing, which
took place earlier this month. So they weren't even arguing about custody.
It was about money.
And the judge took it upon himself to say, you can't see your son again until you're vaccinated.
One of the first things he asked me when I got on the Zoom call was whether or not I was vaccinated, which threw me off because I asked him what it had to do with the hearing. He says, I'm the judge and I make the decisions for your case.
Jesus, Furlitz, what a power trip.
Furlitz's lawyer, A. Fernholz, said she had filed legal challenge to the state appellate court, noting that the boy's father had not been seeking such a ruling. Quote, the trial court clearly exceeded its authority in suspending the mother's parenting time when the issue before the court was child support, Fernholz said in a statement. Quote, the mother did not know her parenting time was being discussed when she went through Zoom court. The judge deprived her of notice and a full hearing on the issue. Furlitt, who has not said she will get the vaccine, told the judge her decision was not to take, or her decision was not to take it, or excuse me, her decision not to take it was not political. I have adverse reactions to vaccines in the past, and I was advised not to get vaccinated by my doctor, she says. It poses a risk. Her son, she said, was upset. I think it's wrong, she says. I think it's dividing families, and I think it's not in my son's best interest to be away from her mother. A spokesperson for Cook County Circuit Court said the judge could not comment. Jeffrey, leaving attorney for the father, Matthew Duvian, said they supported the ruling. Of course, the father supports the ruling. Now he has full custody, I guess. While this is believed to be the first time a judge has used non-vaccination as a punitive measure, others have dangled the coronavirus shot as an incentive or a reward. I think we've probably talked about this on the show.
We've covered a few different judges, Ohio and New York, who have mandated shots for people getting probation, for instance, or I think one bail condition.
One was pre-release, I think.
Yeah,
offenders in several dozen minor criminal cases in Georgia have been offered shorter sentences in return for getting vaccinated. In New York, judges have been requiring vaccinations clauses in certain plea agreements or for defendant seeking bail. So
all of it's inappropriate. I mean, the idea that these judges should be your doctor. I mean, this judge taking the position of this woman's doctor and saying, no, your doctor, we're just going to forget about what he said because, you know, he's your doctor and he knows you and he's got a history with you. No, we're just going to throw that out and I'm going to tell you what
to do. And it's not just this judge. I mean, it's all you superstars out there getting on your TikToks or your Instagram or whatever, telling people to get the jab. Just get the jab. Just roll up the sleeve and get the jab. And it's like, you don't know me. Mm-hmm. You don't know my health. You don't know what my doctor has told me. You need to get off of that. The same thing with you, Fauci, all you guys. You don't know
Hey, jump on the bandwagon.
We're being told on Twitch that the which you can find at twitch.freetalklive.com, that the judge had to reverse his decision.
Good.
Because of the media and the pushback about this.
Good. That's exactly, this is, here we are talking about this and making a point about it and blowing it up because this is ridiculous. This is tyranny. You can't do this. Not only should he reverse his decision, he needs to be fired.
That ain't going to happen.
I would agree. I mean, he drastically overstepped his political power. He's clearly on a power trip saying, I'm the judge here. I'm the one who makes the decisions. Are you vaccinated? And taking away custody of this woman, taking away this woman's right to access her son because she isn't vaccinated. And as Ian pointed out, her doctor told her to not get vaccinated. And
right.
The judge is saying, I'm the judge. I'm more powerful, more important, more knowledgeable.
That's a typical judge line. I mean, that's like what you would hear every judge in America say at some point if you hung out in their courtroom long enough when they were yelling at somebody they were mad at. I mean, that's so standard kind of, the Constitution doesn't apply here. This is my courtroom. I'm the judge.
I'm the judge, and I make the decisions for your case.
Yeah, I mean, that's always what these people do. It's just that most of the time you don't get media. Most of the time these judges are doing ridiculous things to people completely unsung. There's no one there to report on it. I mean, half the time in family court, the courts are closed, right? Like, you can't go in and watch
right.
a lot of family court hearings.
Well, now this is, but maybe we've moved into new territory. This is a Zoom call. This is something that could have been recorded. Oh, they don't let you record things
like that.
They don't like that. That's the first thing they tell you is you better not have your recorders on. But at least it's open to, like, your hearings. All of the Crypto 6. There were hundreds of people in those rooms.
The one upside to, I mean, there's not a lot of bright spots when it comes to COVID, but that is one of the few, is that now you can see what's going on inside courts that otherwise you would have had to physically go to and put yourself at risk.
And not just courts too, but
security.
Like city meetings and local bureaucracies. You're right. If there's one good thing that has happened, there's been a little more transparency, a little more. It's become easier to monitor. What the emperor with no clothes has been actually up and doing.
There may be more transparency, but there's even less that you can do about it.
Yeah.
Because you can't go to a lot of these.
Well, we can do what we're doing right now. We can talk about it. And we can get the media to lambast these judges and, make them think about what they really did and who actually is paying their check. It's us. We're paying this guy.
You probably get better turnout with these digital hearings as well, because people don't have to leave their homes to actually go to the court and deal with,
And they can attend from anywhere instead of just the local area.
Yeah. Another benefit is that they all skip the please rise for the honorable judge whatever thing. There's no ceremony when the judge connects, so that's a benefit. We're out of time for tonight, though. You can check us out in the meantime. You should join our social media server. Get away from the censorship that we talked about earlier. Get away from Twitter deciding you shouldn't be able to organize a protest. You can find that at social.freetalklive.com. Again, social.freetalklive.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.